morning we're going to continue a series of messages that I've been doing, calling Living Authentically in Today's World. And today we're focusing on the theme, Motivation for Authentic Service. And so with that in mind, we're going to read a passage from Romans chapter 12. We're going to read the first 16 verses. So hear then what God's Word has to say for us this morning. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. We rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And so far then, the reading of God's Word. Dear people of God, well, it looks like springtime is now fully upon us, with summertime just around the corner. I think this is a favorite time of year for many of us. The warmer weather has a way of brightening our perspective on life. The longer days allow more time for outdoor activities and more time with family and friends. Summertime means summer vacation for all the children and teenagers in school, and many of us look forward to some time of vacation away from our work. Now, if we're honest about ourselves, many of us also like this season because things slow down somewhat in our church life. We welcome a break from the hectic pace of running off to different activities at church. But it's also a time when we need to start thinking of plans for the next church season. Every year, we need to replace some people who step down as Sunday school teachers or maybe some other ministry position. And some of these people, they just want to try something else. Others step down because they no longer find any joy in serving. Some conclude, well, I've now done my part. Now it's somebody else's turn. I've discovered in my years of ministry that most people are willing to serve in some way within the church if they find a role they feel comfortable with. And sometimes finding that area of service that where the hand fits the glove, that can be a challenge that eludes many of us. And so too often we find ourselves serving in some role more out of a sense of obligation, more out of a sense of, you know, trying to get people off our back. And it could even be that we've served in some role that initially appealed to us, but eventually we step down because we feel ill-equipped, or maybe we feel frustrated by the attitudes of the people that we work with. And some of us have vowed that we will never serve in any capacity within the church again. Well, in this time between church seasons, it's good for us to ask, is there a better way? How can we be used by God to serve with enthusiasm and effectiveness within the Church of Christ? And so this morning, we want to consider what the Bible teaches about authentic service according to God's purposes. In Romans 12, the passage that we just read, the Apostle Paul tells us not only why we should serve, but also how we can serve in a meaningful way. Now, it helps to realize where Romans 12 is located in the book of Romans. The book of Romans is essentially divided into three sections. And the first part stresses how every person is a sinner who deserves God's judgment. And the second part then deals with how God graciously delivers us from our sin through his Son Jesus. And then the third part, which actually starts at the beginning of chapter 12, the third part shows us how to live in response to this amazing gift of God's salvation to us in Jesus. And so Romans 12 makes a transition then from the second to the third section of Romans. And in the first 11 chapters, the Apostle Paul concentrates on teaching a proper view of God and how we as sinners can enter into a right relationship with God through his Son Jesus. And Paul wants us to be properly informed about what it means to be a Christian. But he also shows in Romans, beginning at chapter 12, that it's just as critical for us to grasp how to live properly as God's people in this world. In Romans chapters 12 through 16, Paul urges us to live our lives that are shaped by our relationship with Jesus as Savior and Lord. Romans 12, verse 1 says, "Therefore I urge you, in view of God's mercy, in view of what I've done for you in Jesus, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is true worship." In other words, what we can see here is that Paul stresses that our service for God is really an act of worship. And if we try to serve God for any other motivation besides worship, we will find little joy in serving. Service that pleases God is a heartfelt response for all that God has done for us. Authentic servers realize that in and of ourselves, we deserve God's judgment for sin. That's Paul's central message in the book of Romans, that there's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. We sang about that earlier in the song. And so for us to look to serve God, we do that in response to what God has done for us in Jesus. It's only through Jesus' death on the cross that we receive the ticket into heaven. And when we begin to grasp the reality of God's love for us in Jesus, then we can't help but respond with worship and gratitude. We'll find ourselves dreaming of ways in which we can serve God. And that we do that out of thankfulness for his amazing gift of grace to us. As the psalmist says in Psalm 116, verse 12, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me?" Authentic service is a genuine attempt to say thank you to God. It's kind of like, you know, when we receive a special gift from another person. We want to show our thanks in some visible way. Maybe some of you mothers did that this morning. You received a gift for Mother's Day, and you just didn't accept that gift and walk away. No, you expressed your thanks to your children or to your husband for the gift that you received today for Mother's Day. And if we find it difficult getting excited about serving God in some way, then really it's time for an inventory check. Maybe we're focusing too much on our own agenda. Maybe we're focusing too much on our own self-accomplishments. Maybe we need to ask God to forgive our indifference to his miracle of grace to us in Jesus. That we ask God to open our eyes to the spiritual blessings that he has given to us in Jesus. You see, I think sometimes we give the impression that Sunday is the day that's been set aside for us to worship God. But you know, if we reserve only one or two hours of the week to praise God or to worship God, it shouldn't surprise us that we have a limited desire or fulfillment in our service for God. In this passage, Paul calls us to dedicate our entire lives as worship to God. We can worship God in the shower. We can worship God while we do our work, while we do the dishes, in the barn, or as we take a hike through the woods. We can worship God as we try to share our faith with other people. We can worship God when we set aside a part of our paycheck for his kingdom worship purposes. We worship God when we serve the needs of other people in the name of Jesus. You see, authentic service, it begins with a proper frame of mind. As Paul stresses in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, the pattern of this world is always to look out for number one. Our world teaches us that, you know, if we can't take care of ourselves, nobody else will. And so our world is consumed very much by a selfish approach towards life. But you know, we can never be used by God with that kind of attitude. If we want to serve in harmony with God's will, we need a complete change of thinking that comes from what comes most natural to us. We need to change as radically from that of a caterpillar that transforms itself into a beautiful butterfly. And that begins with a conscious decision to put God's agenda before our own agenda. Our lives become a spiritual act of worship when we begin to think about how our love and our commitment for God affects every aspect of our daily living. Then we will automatically have a desire to serve God and his people in some way in this world. Now, it's also important for us to realize that true service for God also flows out of a spirit of humility. Paul says in verse 3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. God only uses people who are willing to be servants for him. Consider the example of Jesus. Jesus didn't come to this world to be served. Jesus came into this world to serve. Even the night before Jesus offered his life on the cross, Jesus taught his disciples a lesson in authentic service. You see, the disciples, they were all too proud to take up the role of a servant to wash the feet of their fellow disciples before they had their meal. But Jesus wasn't too proud to be a servant. Jesus took up a towel and a basin, and as a model of true servanthood, he washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus did what none of the other disciples were willing to do. As Jesus says in John 13, verse 15, I have set you an example of what you should do as I have done for you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Too often, we view our service for God with the wrong attitude. We're willing to become maybe an elder or a deacon in the church, or maybe a Sunday school teacher or youth leader or nursery attendant. And too often, we do it more, you know, to affirm people's opinions of us that, you know, we're an okay person. We're willing to serve, but we serve more with, you know, looking for the recognition that goes with the position. But a true servant doesn't look for applause to feed one's own ego. As someone has said, we know that we have the attitude of a servant by how we act when we are treated like a servant. We know we have the attitude of a servant by how we act when we are treated as a servant. There's a story of a young man who came to an aged Saint Augustine, a great theologian of the 4th century. And this young man came to Saint Augustine for some advice on how to live a Jesus-shaped life. And the old wise saint said, "Begin with humility, my son. It's the first rule for godly living." And the second asked the young man, "Humility, my son, humility." "Is there a third?" "Humility, my son, humility. There's nothing else to add." As Paul says in verse 10, in your service for God, honor one another above yourselves. Also in verse 16, he says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. In other words, what Paul is saying is, don't serve to pipe your own horn. Serve to enrich the lives of others for the sake of Jesus. And that's not always so easy for us. You know, we tend to like to exaggerate our own sense of self-importance. But God wants us to serve Him with the realization that we would fall flat on our faces unless we look to His Holy Spirit to guide and empower our service for Him. As Jesus says in John 15, verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. And may that keep us humble when we open ourselves to be used by God in some capacity within the church or in this world. Now, with that in mind, a word of caution is also necessary here. Sometimes we confuse humility with being timid. You know, that we keep ourselves out of the limelight when we serve because, well, I don't want to be proud. God calls us to serve with the measure of faith that He has given us. If God has given us certain gifts to lead or to be up front, God calls us to serve to the best of our abilities. God will hold us accountable for serving to the best of our God-given gifts and abilities. But the Bible also stresses that not every person is cut out for every position of service within God's kingdom. Those who are eager to serve shouldn't sign up for the first job that comes along. If we want to worship God by serving, we need to prayerfully consider what we're capable of doing. That we prayerfully consider what kinds of gifts God has given us. Because not everybody has the same interest or temperament. We need to be honest enough to say no to certain things that we just don't feel suited for. Not every one of us is meant to do the same thing within the church. And with that in mind, Paul uses the example of the human body. Our bodies are made of many different parts, and they don't all function in the same way. And so Paul says it's the same within the body of Christ. There are different members who are gifted for different roles within the church. Some are good at teaching. Others are good at helping those who are in need. Others are good at providing leadership. And whatever gift God has given us, Paul says we need to serve diligently and cheerfully to the best of our abilities. And so what that also means is that within the church, that for those of us who are pastors or elders or deacons, that means that we aren't called to do all the work within the church. As leaders, it's actually our job to equip the members to serve each other, and that we do that in the name of Jesus. Jesus calls each one of us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices in service to God, and that we do that out of thankfulness for his goodness to us in Jesus. God is never more pleased that when we open up our hearts to him saying, "Here I am, God. I'm available to be used in whatever way you want to use me. Use me as you see fit. Use me to touch some forgotten person within the church or in this community. Use me to encourage someone who's carrying a heavy burden. Direct me to someone who needs a helping hand. Let me experience the thrill of directing someone to believe that your forgiveness is available through Jesus." When we consider it our privilege to be used by God in that way, then the Holy Spirit will lead us and create opportunities for us to serve. God will give us a new sense of fulfillment as we serve in our lives. And in that light, I think we also need to remind ourselves that we need to show appreciation for those who serve diligently in the church year after year. Thank the nursery attendants or Sunday school teachers who care for your children. Thank the worship team for coming early every Sunday to lead us in worship and to prepare for that. Thank the board members who sacrifice many evenings away from their family to serve in this church. Acknowledge those who serve quietly behind the scenes. Because you know what? The church would not survive with all these volunteers who serve in the church. Sometimes in my ministry, I hear complaints from people. People who sometimes complain about certain things they're not happy with in the church. And you know, through the years, I've discovered that all too often that comes from people who do very little to pitch in with the work of the church. I've discovered that people who are busy serving within the church usually don't have time to bitch and complain about how things are going. When we serve together to pursue the common goals of expanding God's purposes, that inevitably leads to a greater sense of appreciation for the church. Serving together fosters relationships of genuine service with others. That in turn gives us a new sense of energy and enthusiasm to serve in the name of Jesus. I think one final word also needs to be said about a disturbing attitude that we sometimes hear within the church, where people say, "Well, I've done my part, and now it's for someone else to do their part." You know what? That kind of thinking, that doesn't come from God. It's an attitude that's shaped by the individualistic influences of our society. As members of the church, as the body of Christ, we're never done doing our part to build up Christ's church. Even as we get older, we can serve in different ways. We might not be able to do some of the physical things before no more, but we can always pray for those who are doing the heavy lifting within the church. Because you know what? There's no retirement for the Christian life. The word retirement, you won't find it in the Bible. In fact, as more experienced members who are retired and who have no children in the house, typically we have more time. Typically we have more flexibility to serve than those who have young families and are struggling to make ends meet. Our younger members need to see the continual example of service and devotion to God by the experienced members of the church. Because our service for God is a vital part of the authentic Christian life. It's our primary way of saying thank you to God for all that he's done for us in Jesus. And there's no greater thrill than serving God in a meaningful way. And it happens only when we allow the Holy Spirit to lead and to equip us in our unique place of service for God's kingdom purposes. And when we all do our part in serving within the body of Christ, then God will richly bless us as individuals, but also collectively as a church family. And then God will also use us in more powerful ways to reach out to others within our community. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for the gift of your grace and your forgiveness to us in Jesus. We know we don't deserve that gift, Lord God. We know it's not something that we can achieve on our own. And so, Lord God, we pray that you will help us to respond with a sense of gratitude that naturally flows into a lifestyle of worship and service for you. We pray, Lord God, that you will show us where and how we can use our gifts to enrich the lives of others around us within this church, but also within our community. We pray, Lord God, that you will show us where and how we can encourage each other in our mutual service for you. And Lord, help us to see it as our way of saying thank you for your goodness and your love for us in Jesus. In his name we pray.